Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to talk about a very important topic. How do you manage a difficult employee? Especially if you're short on time, which who isn't? Mm-hmm. Our question comes from someone who has one staff member who insists on doing things his way and keeps creating problems for everyone else.
Yeah. That sounds so stressful. And it's very common to be in management position, but also be juggling other responsibilities, right? So that means you have very little time dedicated to managing.
And then so when somebody difficult comes around, you have even less time.
You do. I hope our listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
So let's go right to our question, Logan.
I manage three employees in a very busy department. One of them is a very difficult personality. He has a hard time following instructions, and even when he says yes, he basically does what he wants. He's constantly creating his own systems that no one else understands, and those systems are often extremely faulty. When I went to my boss to complain, she told me that I must give this employee goals, objectives, and expectations, and then document his performance. I know I have to do this, but I'm already crunched for time. One of the infringements on my time entails constantly having to do this person's job or correct his mistakes. How do I proceed?
Ooh.
Yeah, this is really a problem.
This is what you call a catch 22, right? You've got to manage this person, but cleaning up after them is sucking up your time.
I would also imagine the trust factor is pretty low here, that you don't trust this person's going to change or they're going to listen. I mean, this is tough. But the boss is right in that you can't just fire someone. You have to actually, you know, tell them what you want, have them sign off on it, document, see they didn't do it, document.
Right.
And then, you know, you've got the procedure on your side,
right,
which is what nobody really wants to do when you have a character like this, really, because there's no justice here. This is boring.
Right. You just want to get rid of them.
You just want to get rid of them. And I get it.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I think this person has to do what their boss suggested, and there's a reason why they suggested it. So,
how does he find the time, or the manager, if it's a he or she, how does this person find the time to really, because first you've got to set out what your goals and expectations.
I just think you have to immediately put this person on some kind of performance improvement. And you have to let them know that this has been going on for some time and that this is an opportunity for them to straighten out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So here's my expectations. You know, here's what I expect you to do. And you have to give them a little time, maybe 3 months to clean up your act. And I know this is the piece that nobody wants to do because it really, honestly, there's confrontation here. Mm-hmm. There's criticism here. There's things that many managers don't want to do.
Well, and also I think just even meeting regularly with this person, which you also need to do, right, Kathy? Once you've laid out your goals and expectations.
I would avoid this person. This is what's happening.
That's right. Once you've said, this is what I expect, then you have to hold them accountable, which means weekly meetings where they weigh in and tell you what they've been able to do or not do.
Yeah, this is a tough process. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you've let it, I mean, this is the kind of person everybody avoids.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. You hope they're out sick or on vacation. You just avoid them. But this is what it takes.
And you roll your eyes whenever you discover something more they've done that's created a problem, right?
Then you run around and you tell everyone. So you have time for that, right? You have time to complain about them, but you don't have the time to do it.
Yeah.
Like me for our bookkeeper, right? Catherine, I was always
all right. She was retired, so we can really talk about that now.
Yes,
she caught every one of Catherine's mistakes
and yours.
But by the time if I would make a mistake, Catherine still got blamed
because she
had cast this role on Catherine as she was the mistake maker. So I was always in the clear.
Yeah,
it was really. It was. I did enjoy that.
It's comical now, but probably not in the moment.
No, we laughed about it. It's true.
We laughed about it because she had a way. She wouldn't just call Catherine and be Catherine, and you knew that it was a disapproving. Yeah.
Anyway, that's humbling. But
and even if you said, "I think Kathy made those mistakes," she didn't care.
No, she didn't.
Anyway.
But I was probably that for her, right?
Yeah.
Like,
God,
here she comes again. So you do have to deal with this person, even though that's the last thing you want to do, is what we're saying.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to make a case to get rid of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And which is clearly what you should do.
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations, and speaking from a self-management perspective, it's like a delayed gratification thing. You have to put these things in place that Kathy is suggesting and meet with the person regularly, and you have to actually be dogged about it with the long-term goal and belief that, you know, the truth will weigh out. Their behavior will show itself, but you have to be documenting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I also wonder about if you take the time to train staff when they first come in, you know, then you've kind of set it up.
Yeah,
right.
That this is what you want. If you do that early. Now, I don't know whether this person was inherited or they turn bad. I don't know what happened, because that happens too.
Yes. I mean, I guess the other thing I was thinking is that you may have created some of this, right? If you're constantly cleaning up after this person,
they made it worse.
You've enabled them in a way.
Yeah.
So they don't know that it's a problem. They think, oh, this is cool. I have a really good job here. My boss is off my back. I never see him, and he'll actually pick up my work.
So it's part of what you have to do, Kathy, is to let this person make some mistakes. Like, don't jump in and correct everything.
I think, yes, and I think you also have to let them know you're going to do that. You have to let them know this hasn't been working.
Ah.
That would be in the initial conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So for those
of
us...
And don't be, you know, shocked if they're shocked.
Right. Mm-hmm. They will be shocked.
Or
probably
indignant. You know, they could be really pissed off because...
Right.
You let it go. As a manager, you let it go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll just realize, you know, I don't know what the deal is with this person, but I mean, this person, I'm going to bet, has been fired before for this problem.
Sure. Or moved from one department to another.
Right.
I think the thing that's interesting, so I'm looking at this individual has a hard time following instructions. Even when he says yes, he basically does what he wants, constantly creating his own systems that no one else understands. So the likelihood is that they're not necessarily going to understand you when you finally give them your goals.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll understand that they signed something that was not good.
Right.
And that they're on notice. They'll understand that piece.
Right.
But I see, when a person, I think, does create systems that no one else understands, they're ensuring themselves a job. I think that's what it is. So then you further push, you know, people away so that they don't challenge you. This is not good. It's not a good situation.
No.
Because this employee has you kind of hostage.
Right. In many different ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to break the hostage
cycle. Yeah, it's your fault as a manager for really, you know, I don't know how long this has been going on, but... You know, you got to make this a priority.
Right. Yeah. And I think one of the things maybe is that if this person has, let's say, been moved around, if somehow the organization keeps them on for whatever reason.
Someone likes them.
Yes. That may be your fear if you're managing this kind of person, that they've got, they're in favor somewhere. And so I think sometimes when you think, well, what's the use? It's not going to, no one's going to really listen to me, even if I
if you document it.
Right. But this is when it has to be official, right?
Right.
Where you use business tools and business protocol and follow the policies of your company.
I mean, it has to be official if anyone questions you, and it has to be official if they attack back or they go and sue because there was no reason to be fired, and then there's this paper trail. So I would get HR on it if you have an HR department and say, I want to put this person on a performance improvement. Get their documentation forms, use them to help you.
Get them to help you.
Yeah, through this process. They know how to do that.
That's a great idea. Okay, so you're going to do it, and you're going to put the time in, and you're going to meet with them regularly. You're going to hold them accountable. You're going to get help from HR, and eventually you can get them out.
That's right. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. If you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, tweet us at AskK2, and we're going to come back and talk about making the time to manage your staff.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Hey, welcome back. So we're talking about managing difficult people, and just managing in general is difficult, whether the people are difficult or just like managing. And I find that people, you know, many people get pushed into a management position because they want to climb the ladder. They want to get promoted.
Right.
Right.
But that's not really what they want to do. They don't really want to manage people.
Most people do not want to manage people. I think that's true.
Yeah.
They want the promotion.
And they want people to self-manage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They want, you know, employees that just do the right thing and look for work and accomplish their work on time.
Well, so this is so interesting what you're saying, because I think what's true is when you're one of those people who is promotable and put in a management position, you are that kind of person,
right?
Right? You're self-sufficient, mm-hmm. self-motivated. You work on your own. No one has to hover over you and tell you what to do. And yet, the people who you will manage are likely not like that.
Right.
Definitely.
Right.
So
and it's always a big
that.
Surprise.
Yeah.
How could they be so unmotivated?
Yeah.
I don't understand why they don't accomplish anything or do their work on time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all, you know, pretty kind of normal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A big chunk of the population is lazy. Is it lazy? What is it?
I think maybe not so motivated, but certainly not personally responsible. I think it's that sense of personal responsibility that puts you a cut above, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That you really take ownership of your job and of trying to, what we talk about working with you is killing me, which is to identify problems and offer solutions, you know, to be ahead of the game for mm-hmm. your employer. That's unusual.
Yeah, I think a lot of people it's just work. They're not really engaged. Maybe they really would rather be spending their time doing something else than winning the lottery. You know, not everybody wants to work.
Right.
I like working. Not everybody likes it.
Well, not everyone. I think actually there's a distinction too that many people who work don't necessarily think that it is their job to jump ahead and to predict and anticipate and, you know, mm-hmm. go above and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, they may like to work because they like the paycheck and they even like the camaraderie, but they don't necessarily want to take big initiatives.
Right.
They're risk adverse.
Risk averse. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we are, by nature, like creatures of habit, right?
Yes.
So being successful would require taking risks mm-hmm. and maybe doing something that is out of your comfort zone, and they're just kind of content to stay in something that they know and that is familiar.
Yeah, and also the larger the organization, mm-hmm. the less often initiative is rewarded, right? The more you're busy kind of maintaining, there's a maintenance quality to it. I'm actually working with someone right now who's in a bank that's grown huge, you know, exponentially. And the person he is, who's quite entrepreneurial, is the opposite of the person who's now coming in and being hired. They're now hiring the people that I would call like place setters, you know?
Yeah. Okay,
this is how we do it here and here. I don't want to make any decisions that could ruffle any feathers. It's all about towing the line.
Yeah.
But that can happen, especially in very large organizations.
Sure.
Well, there are people that grow organizations. There are people that maintain.
That maintain, right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are different kinds mm-hmm. of peeps. Yeah.
They are.
Ugh. Well, look, managing is difficult. It just is.
So how do you make the time to do it? Kathy, you're great at time management.
I just read an article in Fast Company. It actually came out a couple of years ago, but they were saying that you know, if you don't manage enough, you're an avoider. And if you manage too much, you're a micromanager. And they had figured out that point. 6 hours a week was the right number of hours to be talking to and managing your staff. That sounds high to me.
Yeah.
That's over an hour a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just sounds high.
Maybe that's assuming you have many staff, many employees under you.
Is it like a regular 9-to-5? Maybe they're thinking if you kind of do it in snippets throughout the day.
Yeah, they weren't. They didn't really qualify it. And they didn't say how large an organization. But I thought it was too much. But I think maybe like a 15 minutes to a half an hour a day to me sounds more like it. If you brought them in right and you trained them, you had a training, you know, way of bringing them in and integrating them into the onboarding. If you onboarded them in the correct way,
right.
It shouldn't take that much. It depends on what, you know, what your job is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, if you either take the time now or you pay later. So you don't want to be an avoider and you don't want to be a micromanager. Yeah. That's for sure. Because those two ends of the spectrum don't do very well.
Right. You want to take enough time. So, but with most staff, you want to meet with them once a week for not for a long time, but for a little time.
It depends on what it is they do.
Yeah.
Most people that are highly self-motivated once a week is enough. But if you have people that have lower end jobs that run into difficulties, you may have to meet with them a couple of times a week. Daily.
Right. The other thing that you have to take time to do is to deal with squabbles between employees or conflicts.
Sibling rivalry.
It's one of the least favorite activities of most of the people that we work with, wouldn't you say?
That's why we get hired to come in. Nobody wants to do that.
They haven't been talking for 5 years.
Right. But if you're meeting regularly, like this article is suggesting, I guess the thought process is that you could see things ahead of time instead of the 5 years of conflict and the boss feels like completely bombarded. And
well, I think you also want to make sure that everyone's projects are going in the right direction and that you answer their questions if they run into any difficulties or, you're able to really be there.
Right.
So you're either setting the course and clarifying the priorities and letting people report back and be accountable to you, or you're putting out fires.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to go into the micromanaging where they can't make a decision without you.
Okay. How do you know you're micromanaging?
Well, if you have a long line outside your door, that's an indication. Or if you have so many emails from your staff waiting for things to be approved, that's a sign that you're micromanaging. I mean, you do want to trust people to make decisions. If they make the wrong decision, you know, unless they're working in ER or the operating room, it probably can be reversed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think that's a really good point. If you have too many people waiting to meet with you, you're probably micromanaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the bottleneck in your department where everything has to go through you.
Yeah.
People hate that, by the way. They hate you. It's the highest turnover.
But this is such an interesting thing, too, about management, because I was just thinking micromanagers often think there's only one way to do something.
Mm-hmm. Their way.
Exactly.
Right.
Precisely.
Which, by the way, changes. According to people that work with a micromanager, they'll tell you they want it done a particular way. And so the next time you do it that way, and then that's not okay
anymore. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Oh, it's infuriating.
Yeah. So if you are a manager and you're able to communicate the results that you want, and if you have a system, you know, that's the other thing. If you have a specific system by which you want people to follow in order to accomplish those results, that's all to be communicated during your meetings, right? As opposed to standing over them or having them come to your office and report every minute.
Yeah.
Right. That's why if you're in constant touch with people, you can support them in making decisions. You know, you can.
Yeah.
So the 6 hours is a little high to me. I think it's more like 2.5 hours a week.
Yeah.
Like a half an hour a day where you're just checking in and observing and seeing what your people need.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've not been managed for a while, but back in the day when I was a recruiter, my best manager was a person who's now a friend of mine, Mary McCarty, and she was so smart because she would have an all-staff meeting at the beginning of the week, and then she'd meet with us individually, but just for 10 or 15 minutes in the middle, you know, somewhere along the way.
Yeah, she wanted to see how it's going.
Yeah, And she had an agenda every time we met and had us bring our agendas. Mm-hmm. She really had a system.
And she was your favorite manager.
She was my favorite because she let us do our job. To your point, she let us do our jobs.
Yeah.
It wasn't you have to do it this way. It's that here's what you have to accomplish. And then if there was a problem or you needed assistance, you knew you could go to see her.
You know, my favorite boss was Mr. Cook, who I talk about a lot, who was an alcoholic and, you know, would start drinking at noon. But the thing about him was he also would let you do your job and then would check in before noon and go, how's it going? Do you need me?
Right.
So, you know, I appreciated that a lot. I grew under him because basically I had to do his job because he was drunk a lot, but also because he allowed you to grow.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know if everyone did well under that. Well, that's a whole other story. Anyway, we'll talk about alcoholics in the workplace at another time.
At another That'll date. Be an overtime at some point.
Yeah.
We'll drink to that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories about how to manage staff effectively to Ask K2. Follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.